Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not putting no car in your name. And some people were saying, no, I've done this before. I've done it and it worked. I've done it and it didn't work, but I would do it again. I would do it for a friend. Well, so I thought, you know what? This is an interesting conversation because buying a car for somebody and having to buy insurance for them in order to register the vehicle is one thing, but there are other insurances out there that may be mandated or maybe haven't been mandated anymore, such as health insurance. During the Obama administration, health insurance was mandated. So the Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare, health.gov or something like that. Anyway, we were required to have health insurance during the Obama administration. Trump came through and got rid of the mandate. So you didn't have to carry health insurance if you didn't want to. Health insurance, well, insurance altogether is about money. So but we're going to talk about insurance today. So let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun show. We do this every single Saturday from 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Saturday. And it is a Saturday. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, go back and forth with each other, bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see the way that the world, that the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I am your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun show, and we are talking about the people who you would put on your insurance. Are you carrying insurance yourself? One thing about insurance, like I said, insurance is all about money. But one thing about insurance is that you're going to get the policy that best suits your financial situation. Not necessarily your financial needs, but your financial situation. You know that when it comes to insurance, you need to buy an insurance policy that you can afford, because there's nothing worse than paying a lot of money for an insurance policy that you can't afford, because you don't get it. You don't get any of that money back. None of it, not a single dime. That's why insurance is such a big business. That's why people get so much money with insurance, because the likelihood that you're going to have to pay out is low. With car insurance probably pays out more than any of the other insurances. But we're going to take a look at that and see how that goes, and make sure that that's right. But I think that it might be right, because with car insurance, you see how it differs from state to state, where the incidence of car accidents is low, very low, the car insurance is cheap. Where it's high, car insurance is off the chain. For example, Newark, New Jersey. Historically, the car insurance is totally unaffordable up there in North Jersey, because there's such a high incidence of people stealing cars. They steal cars in North Jersey. So up there in North Jersey, especially around the Newark area, East Orange, they make the car insurance very, very expensive. And it's the polar opposite when you come down to South Jersey. Dirt cheap car insurance. North Jersey, car insurance higher than all of the other states. All of them, even higher than New York City. North Jersey is off the chain when it comes to car insurance rates. South Jersey, cheap. So I'm sure that there have been times when people have tried to use a South Jersey insurance address, probably while they were living in North Jersey. And if you're going to play that kind of game, I don't want to call it insurance fraud. But if you're going to play that kind of game, at least do it within the same state. I'm telling you from experience, when you have a car registered in a state that you don't live in, you're going to run into problems. But if it's in the same state, they don't always look at it like, okay, same state. They might catch you because you live in a different area, especially when it comes to North Jersey versus South Jersey. They probably take a harder look at that than other insurance companies would in different situations in different states. But nonetheless, so the decision to put somebody on your car insurance in Jersey and North Jersey, you're probably thinking like, wait a minute, this is a hell of a bill I'm paying. This is big business. I don't know if I can afford it. I don't know if you really are worth it. I don't know if this is a big enough bubble for me to let you go and burst it. I worked in North Jersey for a while. Well, really, it wasn't really North Jersey. It was kind of like upper central, northern central Jersey. Because it's really not, you're really not in North Jersey until you get past exit 10 on the Jersey Turnpike. And where I work, you could get there with on exit 9 or 10. So, you know, once you're at exit 11, 12, then that's when you start getting past Rahway and Newark and places like that. So I was just short. But nonetheless, I had a friend, a good friend of mine who I worked with, and he was an unlicensed driver. He had spent some time down in Virginia and got his license messed up down in VA. He's originally from New York, originally from NY, went down to VA, got his license messed up at VA, came back up to NJ, and his license was messed up. But he was married. So what they did was, see, all right, let me break down New Jersey for a minute. In the state of New Jersey, when the cops stop your vehicle, all of your driver's license and insurance information is registered to your license plate. So without ever getting out of his car, they can see who the owner of the car is, who is registered to, who is insured by, whether it is insured, and the license status of the driver. So my man wasn't a licensed driver, but the car was licensed. In other words, the car that he was driving that was put in his wife's name was insured, registered. So when the cops stopped him, they would think, oh, maybe it's a woman driving the car. They get up, they get out of the car, and they come to the window, and they see it's my man, unlicensed driver, or suspended license. Well, that's still unlicensed. So it's like, what are you doing driving this car? Now, that's when it probably gets sticky, and you start having to ask yourself, is it really worth it to have somebody, or is it really worth it to take a chance on having a car, buying a car for somebody, even if they give you the money for it? Because in the state of New Jersey, driving without insurance, you automatically, first of all, you get arrested. That's number one. It's an arrestable offense in the state of New Jersey. If you get caught driving without a driver's license in the state of Pennsylvania, you don't go to jail. You get a ticket. You go fight the ticket, you know, whatever, you might win. But in the state of New Jersey, first of all, the ticket, you go to jail, number one, have to get yourself bailed out. The ticket for driving without insurance, I'm sorry, for driving without a license, the ticket high, man. And driving without insurance is super high. It's super high. Ask me how I know. So it be going down in the field. Be going straight down. So, you know, I'm sure his wife had, well, my man, you know, he got out of it. He didn't get arrested or whatever, but he would get stopped by the cops every now and then. And he would have to talk his way out of it. Or if his wife was in the vehicle, you know, she would pretty much take the heat for it. But it can cost you money. And that's the big thing about insurance. It costs you money. I know it can. It does. Whatever insurance that you choose, whatever policy for whatever reason, whatever area of life that you choose to buy insurance, it's going to cost you. Life insurance, homeowners insurance, apartment insurance, insurance for your jewelry or other items, other valuables. you know, car insurance. There's almost an insurance for anything that's valuable to you. Anything that's expensive, you can pretty much insure it under a policy, but you're going to be paying for that policy. And you got to think, like, is it worth it? Would it be worth it in order to put somebody on your policy or get or buy a policy for somebody? Yeah, it's something to think about, and it's a situation that a lot of people have been into, and they had to make that decision. Sometimes it worked out. Other times they got burned by it. You know, that's the whole thing about the unlicensed driver thing. I've seen situations. I remember I got into an accident with this guy. I got into an accident with this guy, and evidently he wasn't a licensed driver. When he reported it to his insurance company, he reported it like I hit him, and that's not what happened. Second of all, he reported it like it was a woman driving the car. Evidently, the car was registered and insured by a woman. I don't know if it was his girlfriend. I don't know if it was his spouse. I don't know if it was his sister or his mother. I don't know. But when I got on the phone with their insurance company and my insurance company, I told him, I said, no. There was a man driving the car. As a matter of fact, he had his man with him. It was him and his bull. And they were like, it was? I said, yeah. Look at the police report. Police report shows that, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I understood why he did that. If you went to your insurance company and it can be shown or proven that whoever was in an accident was an insurance driver or somebody other than the person who was insured, the insurance company is not going to pay out. They might pay the person that you hit, but they ain't going to pay you. No damages. They might even drop you. They might drop you. They might not, but they might. So it's a risk that people take, and it's a real risk. It's not sweet like that. It ain't sway. So let's talk about y'all. First of all, if y'all would like to call us to the show, I invite y'all to call in. And the number to call us, area code 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said 319-527-6199. Yes, y'all. 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine. Get your shine. Get your shine, baby. 319-527-6199, baby. Press number one, and that will let me know that you would like to speak, and then I will call you out by the last four digits of your telephone number, and you can rock a rock on it, do the damn thing. All right. Shout out to my people, Stacey White. What's going on? Thanks for coming on through. And my brother from another mother, Norris Hill. Sit back, relax, do your thing, Max and chill. And T. Carrie Wright, morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my people go directly into your side. Robin Ming, my big sis doing the thing. She's something like a queen for a king. Norris says, one has to pass all exams and inquiries if they were applying a loan or welfare. Applying for a loan or welfare assistance, and I will be the one conducting the interview. Okay. Like I said, man, insurance is money. Whether you pay for the policy outright, whether you pay for it month to month, or over a 6-month period, it doesn't matter. It costs you. It does. It costs you. And it can cost you even more than what the policy is. When we talk about health insurance, I'm sorry, when we talk about car insurance, hopefully, God forbid, you don't get in any accidents. But if you do get into a car accident, the type of insurance that you have purchased will come into question. You may have gotten the minimum coverage allowed by your state in order to cover your vehicle. So maybe you got no fault insurance. So if you get into an accident, your insurance company doesn't pay for your car to get fixed, but it will pay for whoever car that you got into an accident with to be fixed. If it can be proven it was your fault that y'all were in the accident in the first place. So you can mess around, smack your whip up, and don't have enough money to pay for the repair to get your car fixed. It might be expensive. Auto body costs a lot of money. Getting a car fixed in an auto body shop costs a lot of money, even when the auto body mechanic is your man. All right, they hooked you up. You know, shout out to my people who, when they get their settlement check, when they get into a car accident, and they have to pay their $500 deductible or more, they got a man at the auto body place that say, "Well, look, I'll eat the cost of the deductible if you bring your car to my shop." And for people who don't understand how the deductible works, if you have a deductible on your car insurance, let's say $500, that's the going rate, the insurance company will pay out the damages for your vehicle or whatever, less $500 off of the bill. So let's say it costs $5,000 to get your car fixed. The insurance company will pay $4,500. You pay the other $500. So if you take it to a auto body place, you know, that of somebody that you know, they might tell you, all right, well, so don't worry about it. Bring your car to my shop. I'll tell them that I'll make the damages come up to $6,000. I'll make it come up to $6,000. I'll eat the $500 deductible for you, plus I'll throw you $500. I've had it done. I'll ask for $6,000 instead of the $5,000, and you know we good to go. Now that's how it goes at an auto body place. When you take your vehicle to the dealership, they're not making no deals with you. No deals. That's why I don't take my car to no dealership. I don't care. No deals. You won't pay that $500 deductible. They want all that money. They're greedy. Greedy. I had a 1996 Dodge Stratus that needed a brand new engine in 1996. Yeah, you heard that correctly. It was a 1996 vehicle. I had to get a new engine in the year of 1996. I bought the car in, like, I think it was January, maybe February. I had to get a new engine in September. Yeah, you rock with that. September. That was a car from hell. Piece of shit. Oddly, the Chrysler Sebring was the exact same car. But the Stratus was a four-cylinder. It was something like a five-cylinder. Kind of weird. It was like the biggest four-cylinder that you could get. It was a piece of shit. Anyway, the decision to put somebody on your car insurance is a decision that requires that will require a lot of thoughtfulness, insight, study, planning. You damn near need to have some insurance from the person that you're going to take that chance with to make sure that they are not going to screw you. Like sometimes it may not be a situation where somebody can't afford something. It might just be cheaper to have two on a policy than one. When it comes to car insurance, guess what? If you insure two vehicles or three vehicles, it's cheaper than if you insure one. It's the weirdest thing. They give you these multi-vehicle discounts. But if you only have one car insured, it costs you more than if you have two or three. No figure. Carol Chamberlain says, wow, that must have been a lemon. It was a lemon. That car was from hell. Let me tell you what happened with that car. Bought the car in January, February, whatever. It was snow. They had to dig the car out when I went to buy it. Do you hear me? They had to dig the car out. I picked the car. They were like, yo, you can come pick the car up tomorrow. I was like, no, I'm driving out of here now. They was like, all right. They had to go dig the car out, detail the car. I drove the car out. It was snow on the ground. Brand new car, 1996. The car started acting funny somewhere around maybe July, August. September, my dad was driving the car because we worked together, so I would drive his truck to work, and he would drive my car all day. I really didn't like that. My dad would do some, you know, I miss my dad, but yeah. Let's just say he would do some memorable things. I'd be like, Dad, what's this stuff in my car? Not drugs. Nah. He would do things in my car that if I was in a car with my girl, I would have to answer questions about. I'd be like, like this time I really don't know. But anyway, he was driving the car and he said, Omar, I had to put oil in the car. I had to put oil in the engine. And it took like two or three quarts. I was like, really? He said, yeah. You know what I mean? Two, three weeks later, the car just went down. Had the car towed to the dealer. I was like, yo, this car got to be under warranty. It was the same year. You know, 36,000 miles, you know, 3 years, whatever. Took it to the dealership. They're like, yo, you need a whole new engine. I'm like, an engine? Well, what they said was, you need a whole engine head. An engine head is a whole engine. And I had to pay them $500. I was pissed. I was like, $500? Are you crazy? I was like, yo, y'all can't eat that car? They was like, no, we can't do that. I was like, man, F-U-C-K. Y apostrophe A-L-L. Anyway, that was in September or maybe October. No, it was in September. Just got a new engine. My insurance lapsed in October. Backed into me. His insurance didn't pay me. The cop who came on the scene reported, because it was a white guy, and this, I'm just keeping it buck. I'm keeping it a buck with y'all. There's a white guy. He was backing up, looking for an address in this truck. Wasn't paying attention. Backed right into me. Smacked my jaw up. The whole passenger side fender and all of that obliterated. The cops came on the scene. Wrote up the police report like he didn't really know who caused the accident. But I remember the white guy and the cop, who was also white, they was over there conferring with each other. I got set up. Little did I know that until we got the police report. So sometimes, all the time when you're in a police report, you make sure that the cop is writing up that police report the right way, because it can be the difference. I wind up having to pay for my vehicle out of pocket to get fixed. In 1997. So I had to save up the money. I ain't had no car for a few months. I got my car back. No. I got the money to pay to get the car fixed. And around February of 1997, got the car fixed. And around March, April, 1997. Got all kinds of, got windows tinted, fog lights, got rimmed up, chromed out. John was sitting nice. It was sitting nice. The next year, I'm at my girl crib on a Easter Sunday. I go over her crib like about 1, maybe 2 in the morning. Come out the next morning, the passenger side of my car has no tires, no wheels. Somebody was stealing my rims. I was outside. I was parked outside of Lou and Chew's. My Philly people's know Lou and Chew's. I'm parked outside of Lou and Chew's. I'm in Lou and Chew's. You know what I mean? Come outside. When I went to go chirp my alarm, it already chirped to let me know that somebody had already been messing with my car. They messed up they was tearing out my whole steering column. They went in my glove compartment, my glove, you know, the glove compartment, whatever, in the car. They messed up everything and they ripped that joint out. The whole steering column, they had ripped it out. I was like, yo, man, it was this car. I had to get that fixed. When they fixed it, they didn't put the steering column on right. So, you know, your car is supposed to be sitting at 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock. That shit was at 7 o'clock. No, it was at 7 o'clock and 2 o'clock. I was like, this is the weirdest thing. I got used to it. I didn't want them to fix it. I was like, I want, you know, this makes it, yeah. I got rid of that car in 1998. Like, this thing got to go. That 2-year car experience, that thing was from, that car was bad luck. It really was. All right. My brother Ansel Jones is in the house. What's going on, my brother Ansel Jones? You know what I mean? Baby boy, happy birthday to you. Good to see you, man. I hope that yesterday went real good for you. You know what I'm saying? I hope that set you up nice for a bunch of unlimited birthdays, happy and healthily. You know what I'm saying? So hopefully you did the damn thing. And if you didn't do the damn thing, you could do the damn thing right now. All right. Nar says, my trust issues wouldn't allow me to even think to take on such an endeavor. I hear that. Sometimes it ain't even your trust issue. Sometimes it's your love issue. I got more stories. When it comes to cars, I got nothing but stories. No, I got recent, too. All right. Cal says, and Nar, mine either. you won't get the chance to screw me. I hear that. She says, that was your first sign that something may have been wrong. Yeah, I said, my spider senses went off too. Oh, that's what Nara says. Okay, my bad. Carol says, did you have a cracked block on the engine? Who knows? I don't know. Who knows? Honestly, I always felt like the dealership made that. I don't have no proof. But I don't know. That was awfully fishy. That within 8 months, you got to get a new engine? I don't know about that. Cal says, I rented a Stratus in 97 and took it to Baltimore Harbor, rode like crap. The six-cylinder model was okay from what I understand. That four or five-cylinder thing, that thing was terrible. If any of y'all remember, Cadillac had this aluminum engine in the early 80s, and it was, oh my God, it was a nightmare. Imagine aluminum when it gets hot. Why would you make an engine out of aluminum? It was supposed to be some state-of-the-art engine. Piece of shit. Some of y'all might have known people who had a Cadillac. That thing was sitting pretty, real nice, but rode like shit. You was literally going nowhere in that Cadillac, except right back to the shop. Like, you drive out of the shop, go around the corner, then come right back into the shop. Like, yo. Like, didn't you just leave? I'm back. Need me a rental. I'm back. What's going on, Devotion? Coming on through. Appreciate it. Barbara Hill Cisse, what's going on, man? Good to see me some you. So, yeah. What would make you put somebody on your insurance policy? I don't care whether it's car insurance, health insurance. Health insurance, normally the only people you put on your health insurance are your children and your spouse. But let's say you have a significant other. You got a man or a woman that can't afford, maybe doesn't have a job where they can have health insurance for cheap or affordable enough to be able to get it. I've been in this situation many times. And it has been offered to me a number of times. Like, yo, I'll put you on my health insurance. And I was like, how you going to do that? Well, you know, at my job, you know, I can just add you. And, you know, I'll need your information and all of that. And I can kick it like you my husband. I was like, decline. Bad as I may have needed health insurance. I was like, this is my health insurance right here. Call and ring. Because there are a number of reasons why I didn't want to do that. Number one, that's voluntarily putting yourself in a dangerous financial position. Not that I was expecting to, I just needed to be insured. I didn't necessarily, you know, need it for anything, health insurance. But it was a nice gesture. The other thing was, to be honest with you, I didn't trust the intentions of the person who wanted to do it. Just keeping it a buck. You know, some people offer you something that seems like it's good for you, but it's like licking a razor blade. Your blood might taste good if you're hungry enough, but you're killing yourself in the process. So I was like, nah, I'm good. You know, when people put you in financial situations, a lot of times they're putting you in situations where they are trying to gain control. And there many years I've been, I don't want to say I was out of control, but I've never been easy to be controlled. Like, it ain't easy to settle me down. I'm a little wild. But they figure, get the bull on this health insurance. Then I have a bargaining chip with him. He's a little too independent. And you know, it's a hell of a thing when you're broke and independent at the same time. And I was that. Broke as hell, but independent. Like, nah, I'm good. No, you really not good. Yeah, I know I'm not good. But I'm not going to let you make me better because you're going to really make me worse. You know, because I'm a movement by myself. But we're a force when we're together. Oh, yeah, I'm good all by myself. But with you, you make me better. You make me better. Shout out to Neo. Neo has a new album out. Shout out to Neo. I haven't listened to it yet. Hope it's good. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show, and we are talking about the people you will put on your insurance. And we have a caller on the line, so we're going to take the caller in just a second. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Okay, hold on. And so it says, the reason I ask is that rules are different in countries with people that have cheap insurance. Okay. Barbara Hill CJ says, I put my daughter on my car insurance for like 8 days and it cost me a lot. The premium was crazy. She's on my health care currently. Legal name, Alicia Moore. Less is more. No, more is more. This is a real go-getter right here. What's going on, Lee? All right. That's what I'm talking about. Look. Her YouTube name is Devotion. We was going to rock with that. But this is better. Captain says, like putting your head in a noose. No, it says, a noose feeling like a comfortable neck cushion. Man, listen. Insurance is about money. You pay and pay and pay and pay and pay. You know how many people pay car insurance for years and years and years, never get into an accident. And your insurance company be talking about something. Yeah, if you're a good driver, then you don't have to pay a lot. It should be that if you're a good driver, you shouldn't have to pay. How about that? But no, insurance companies just take money in. We be talking about people who be getting in accidents and things like that, and hopefully they come out healthy and unscathed and all of that. But it's a financial situation whenever you start talking about insurance. And car insurance is a pain in the ass. Let's say you already have a car note that you might be paying upwards of $400 a month for. Now you got this car insurance payment that, let's say if you live up in North Jersey, you pay $400 for a month. Yo, man, it's crazy. Or more. Depending on the value of your vehicle. You want to ride around in a Benz, BMW, high-end foreign? You want to ride foreign? Well, this insurance payment premium is going to be foreign too. Totally foreign or some unaffordable shit foreign. Let's take the caller. Caller with the last number, 6606. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind this afternoon? What's good?
So you're a wild one-man movement who likes to drive around the block just to get back to the shop again. I got it. Mm-hmm. How you doing, though?
I'm feeling like a real man should. How about you?
Not bad. So you got the insurance topic. That's kind of... Yeah, that kind of fits me because I have a cousin whose age disparity between he and I are like he would be my son, right? So 20 years ago, I came across Financial Windfall, and he just got married. Was married for maybe a year or two. And so I figured, you know, I just got this windfall, and he and I were getting along very, very, very nicely, right? As cousins, blood, all of that. So I said to him, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will put you on a life insurance policy for $100,000. I will pay for the first 2 years, okay? No obligation on your part to pick it up afterwards. If you like the idea, then you pay the premiums, and when I die, you collect $100,000 on the spot. Now, there's an 18-year disparity between he and I. So I figure, okay, if I die within the next 25 years, he's paying for the insurance, right? It's a windfall for him. He doesn't have to do anything but pay the premiums if he wants to. So,
yeah.
Okay, so 2 years down the road, he's moved now, and I'm trying to get a hold of him. Can't get a hold of him, and I'm asking myself, how come? I have to contact his grandmother for her to get a hold of him. He still doesn't get a hold of me. Finally, I get a hold of him, and I say to him, hey, you know, I've been trying to get a hold of you, and, you know, what about the insurance, you know? Remember? He goes, yeah, I remember. He says, it's at the end of 2 years, and during this time now, we've talked, you know, a little bit, not much, but a little bit. And prior to my trying to get a hold of him at the end of the expiration date for the insurance, and he didn't contact me, so I said, okay, look, yeah.
You're sounding a little muffled. I don't know.
Oh, that must be me. That must be me.
You,
sorry.
Much better. Much better.
Oh, is it?
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm putting the speaker of the earbuds a little bit closer now. I thought I was close enough, but I guess not.
Okay.
So here's the thing. So he says to me, all right, send me the policy. Like that. So I go, all right. So I send him a policy. Then I get a notice in the mail that the renewal has not been, no premiums paid. I said, okay, to myself, because it's up to him. I try to get a hold of him again. He doesn't contact me. So he and his wife and I, we've talked over a period of time. So I tell her about it. He still doesn't contact me, but now she's telling me, though, that he doesn't want to contact me because he doesn't want to have any kind of conflict about his not paying the premiums. And I'm saying that we've never had a conflict about hardly anything. There's nothing for him to fear.
Mm-hmm.
But he still doesn't contact me. So I just, so I just drop him from the, you know, he doesn't pay the insurance policy. But I had also set up a little trust for him, too. You know, so when I die, that my assets go to him. I said, I sent them a letter. I said, you know what? You haven't contacted me about that. The way that you said send me the policy, I'll look into it. Like I'm doing you a disservice. You know, like you're going to be somehow put out as a result of the premiums. I'm taking you off my, you know, my list of people to be notified when I die. So that's that. And so since then, he and I haven't talked. So, yeah, there's a long, long-winded insurance story about trying to put somebody on, you know, trying to do somebody a favor who doesn't ask for it. That's a reinforcement for me from then on. I don't do favors for people unless, you know, I ask and they give me full approval that the favor is really something that they really, really want. You know,
okay.
So, right. You know, so that's my insurance story.
So this was a life insurance policy that was insuring you,
yep.
or both?
No, it was insuring me. So when I die, he, as a blood relative, could get the benefits.
Yeah, so he was the beneficiary. All right.
Right.
So on the policy, are you saying y'all had an agreement to both pay a certain amount of premiums on the policy? Like you?
I'm sorry that the reception was bad. No, I said to him, I would pay for the first 2 years. I would do. He doesn't have to pay a dime. And after the 2 years, it's up to him to pay or not. He's not obligated at all to me or to the insurance company to pay a dime. If he wants to pick it up, let him pick it up. So there's no skin off his nose whatsoever. But his refusal to get a hold of me for his thinking that maybe we might have an argument about it is strange, because he and I have never had arguments about anything major at all, you know, or anything minor at all, but, you know, maybe disagreements, but that's it. But then when I finally got a hold of him, he goes, oh, yeah, okay, send me the policy. Like, it's, you know, like it's a burden on him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow.
So
he's getting 3 months in the event of your passing.
What happened?
He'll be getting free money in the event of your passing, but he's bitching. Like, now you said you paid the first 2 years of the policy. All he had to do was keep it going, and if something was to happen to you tragically, you know, you died, then he would get all the money. He was the sole beneficiary. Is that it?
Yeah, $100,000 policy. It wasn't $100,000. Yeah, I think it was $100,000 policy, and it wasn't that much a month, you know. So he could have just said, "Cuz, thanks, but I'd rather not." And I would have said, "Okay," because that was the agreement we had at the very beginning. He did not have to pick it up; it was completely left up to him. This was something I wanted to give to him because I don't have kids. You know, he's the age of a son that I would have had. We've gotten along pretty well all the years of his life and my life, and I figured I had this financial windfall. Let me do something for him. And that was that. But I didn't know that it was going to turn into, and you know, it didn't turn into anything major. It was no battle, but I heard the lack of gratitude in his voice, and the fact that he didn't contact me before and after. So I'm saying to myself, okay, yeah. All right, forget about it then. So that's when I took him off my my list of beneficiaries or recipients of assets of mine, should I die, you know, to go to him as a result of, you know, the bank just overseeing the operation. So I just sent him a letter. Bang, you are now relieved of being the beneficiary of my assets.
Yo, that's crazy, because I'm thinking, like, I imagine when he first found out that you had made him the beneficiary of the policy, he's probably all happy, like, yo, this is a great thing, you know, you didn't have to do this. This is wonderful that you would do this.
No.
But at least
he didn't do that.
At least he didn't kill you himself, though. At least he didn't make sure he collected. You're still above ground and walking.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, he wasn't like that at the beginning either. He said, okay, cousin, I was very, you know, I like the idea, thank you very much. But he wasn't all appreciative of it. I didn't expect him to be, you know. It was, you know, if you want it, you can have it. It was something extra. And that's the way that he should have taken it. He should have taken a look at it like, wow, what a terrific thing. Because even though the first 2 years would have been free, he still would have had to pay after that in order to continue the policy.
Right.
It was just the fact that he acted so ungrateful, or like I hadn't done anything. That's money out of my pocket for fucking 2 years dedicated to the preservation of his particular lifestyle if something were to happen to me, with the choice that he didn't have to continue anything at all, no money out of his pocket whatsoever. So to me, I don't like ingratitude, man, or ingratitude, so I don't like that.
No, I can understand it. That's definitely giving you my ass to kiss type of situation. But that's basically what we're talking about today. the people that you would choose to put on your insurance. Now, in this case, you did it with life insurance. You know, so he would
I heard your case. And I agree with you. You know, when the woman comes to you and says, I'd like to put you on my health insurance as a husband, I would do the same thing. I would say, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, that was not going to go over well. You know what I mean? I've seen some people be awfully sweet when they are getting what they want or whatever. But I've seen the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing. I'm good. You know. My fault or not? Like, nah, I didn't need that. But yeah, it was health insurance. You know what I mean? Like, it could have been a different situation. It could have been a situation where I had some serious health issues. It could have been a situation where I had pre-existing conditions, you know, health conditions going on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Thank goodness that wasn't the case.
Yeah, but you could have committed fraud too. I think that went through your mind too. Supposing that you do get sick, right? And now you want to try to use this person who claims to be your wife's life health insurance policy, and they check up on you. And they say, okay, Mr. So-and-so, give us some papers and some documents regarding your sickness, and it shows you're not the husband. You could be stuck with fraud.
Well, there is a way for you to add people onto your insurance even if you're not married. Like, gay people, you know, they have that clause. What do they call it? It was a thing that most states approved of before they approved of gay marriage. It was
join union.
Something union. It was definitely something union.
Domestic union, some crap like that. Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So it's crazy because I'm like, okay, so if I was I see in the comments it says DOMA, but I can't do acronyms right now. You got to write that out. Oh, domestic partnership. Okay, all right. For some reason, I know about a different name, but anyway, if I was going with a man, yeah, I could actually put him on my insurance, or he could put him on, put me on his. But because I like women, nothing.
Yeah, well, you know, heterosexuals, you know, we're being prejudiced against, discriminated. We got to, you know, we got to strike up against the LGBT. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. You know what I mean? They tell you, all right, you're a man, you like pussy? Well, you got to pay for it, pussy.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry, buddy. You know, all the thousand-year tradition of you being a heterosexual doesn't matter anymore because the LGBT and the purple wave, they're priority now. Yeah.
Gotta be married. If you're heterosexual, gotta be married. If you want to put somebody... if you want to share financial responsibility for cheap.
If they investigated you, right, if you got sick and you just wanted to use this chick's policy, the documents from the doctor would not match, you know, the documents that she would have presented, and you could have been accused of fraud besides that. And plus, from what you're implying, this girl most of the time is like, oh, how you doing, buddy? And now all of a sudden she's, oh, hey, Joe, how are you? You know what? I got something for you that I think you would really like. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been very lucky in love, but that doesn't mean I haven't been retaliated against. You know what I'm saying? It don't mean that.
Yeah, I hear you.
And that's whether it's...
Oh, God.
You know what I'm saying? I understand. Fuck a woman being scorned. I know how women get when they don't get their way for too long.
Absolutely.
When they've been trying for a long time and they keep not getting their way, well, something is going to happen. You can play stupid if you want. Anyway,
there you go.
So, that was a situation that that I had an example of. But there have been other insurance situations that I've been a part of. Like, you know, there were years when my license was suspended for whatever reason, you know, DUI, all kinds of stuff or whatever. And I still needed a car. There were times when I had jobs out of the state or out of the city or whatever, and I needed a vehicle. So,
right.
You know, so in times like that, you know, I had to rely on, like, when my dad was alive, you know, he trusted me enough to buy the cars in his name, you know, put me on his insurance and things like that, because we had the same first and last name. So it never really became an issue unless the cops stopped me. And, you know, like, I'm not him, you know, so, you know, there would be questions to answer when it came to that. But, you know, he loved me and believed in me enough to go ahead and take the chance. I would do it for him. He did it for me. So that was a thing. But in another scenario, I've known a lot of people who have taken a chance like that on people. I know that my stepdad, almost decades, he didn't have his license straight. And, you know, my mom bought him cars in his name and whatever. He never gotten into any accidents or anything like that, so it never became an issue. But nonetheless,
right.
She had to really love and trust him enough to do that. And that's where that's pretty much what it boils down to. You know, liking somebody is one thing. Loving somebody is another thing. But trusting somebody that they won't screw you over financially. First of all, you got to care about your financial situation in order for that to be an issue. Some people don't really care about their financial situation. You know, I mean, I guess if your credit is already bad, you don't see it getting better in any time soon, you figure, oh, yeah, go ahead and use my name. You know what I mean? You can get it to what it is. If it works for you, then go ahead and do it. But, yeah, man, that when it comes to this whole insurance situation, it can get really dicey, you know, depending on what your expectations are. Because just like you were saying, in your situation where you were paying the first 2 years and then it was agreed upon by both of you that he would start making the payments after that.
No. It was agreed that he did not have to at all. I would pay the first 2 years and he would pick it up if he wanted to. So it wouldn't bother me if he said no.
Oh,
it bothered me that he never got. Yes. I mean, he was scot-free, man. He had nothing to do. He could just say,
yeah.
But it was the ingratitude in his voice and the difficulty of trying to get a hold of him. He knew my phone number. He called before, and he didn't call back in this timely fashion, knowing about this. I'm saying, holy shit, I didn't know this about my cuz. You know, no, it was agreed that he did not have to. So there was no conflict to be made. If he just said, cuz, thanks, but I don't think that I can pick it up right now. For whatever reason, he and I both knew. It was no obligation on his part at all.
That's crazy.
And there was no implication there that he would have to pick it up, because that's not the way he and I, our relationship was. I said what I meant, and I meant what I said. So he had nothing to be worried about. So for him to do this, I'm going, I don't know what's happened. Maybe there's a side to him that I don't know about. You know?
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm sure you took a while to really think about that. Like, why would you drop the ball on that? It's free money.
Well, it would, because he would have to pay the premiums from there on.
But you said, okay, you don't really have to pay the premium. I'll do it. No.
I would pay the premiums only for the first 2 years. And after that, if he wanted to continue the policy, then he would pick it up. But the first 2 years of an insurance policy means you can't rescind it. There's no such thing as any loophole that anybody can take advantage of. But there's no obligation on his part to pay any money at all. I didn't say to him I would continue to pay for the rest of my life. So
right,
when I die,
okay,
he would get no.
All right.
Oh, so, okay. I didn't make it clear. Sorry, man.
No, I think you did. I might have just messed that up. But that's still so okay. So you paid the first 2 years, but in order to continue the policy, he would have to pay for it from then on or drop.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And if he dropped it, there would be no conflict whatsoever. He and I both agreed on it verbally, and he and I thought had that kind of relationship in which there wouldn't be any problem anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, still, like I said, that sounds like free money to me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what I thought.
He could have campaigned and like really hope, like, I hope Cousin Joe is getting sick. I hope I heard he's not doing too
well. Right? Yeah. And I'll visit him in the hospital just to make sure he dies so I can get the money.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I was
thinking of a nice arsenic cocktail, you know what I'm saying?
That's right, you know.
Have this rat poison. I mean, have this raspberry punch.
Please have it. I know. And can you increase the policy now that you're on your deathbed?
Yeah, that's something else, man. But yeah, putting somebody on any insurance policy is a risk. You know, you could be
a dicey thing.
Yeah. You know, like maybe like with homeowners insurance, let's say you own your home and you have people living with you. Maybe you are renting out to them or whatever. But let's say you allow them to benefit from your homeowner's insurance policy or whatever. So, you know, they start a fire in your house, and the insurance company pays out. Hopefully, the house doesn't burn to the ground, but it requires repairs, smoke damage, and all that kind of stuff. And as a courtesy to them, because they were helping pay for the homeowner's insurance, you paid them, you know, a portion of the money that was supposed to be used for repair. You know what I mean? Like you may be able to do that with some people, and you may not be able to. Some people you may not be able to do it with. Like, let's say it's a situation where the homeowner does not carry homeowner's insurance, so you take out homeowner's insurance and pay the premiums for the homeowner. You have a claim. You have a claim with the homeowner's insurance company, and now they want to claim all of the money, and you get nothing.
Oh, good. Oh, no.
People do it. People do that kind of stuff, though.
Really?
You know what I mean?
I didn't know that. Yeah, I never heard of that before.
A little bit of money drives some people crazy. It might seem
doesn't
stupid
it?
To you. Yo, man, I've run into some real incidents over not a little bit of money. You got to think, like, people who rob banks don't get a lot of money when they rob them. When you consider the risk involved,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, like, you're going to wind up doing 20 years of your life over $20,000? Are you crazy? No. No way. $1,000 for each year you spend in jail? No way.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah.
Rob Banks didn't even get $15,000. You know, $8,000, $10,000. Like, what? You could have gotten killed on the scene for $8,000.
And it's a federal crime, too.
That's what I'm saying. So,
yeah,
a little bit of money for
people.
That's right. They'll do it.
Out of desperation, I can see the bank robber doing it. But for people coming out of the woodwork, just for $100, $200 of money that they think is owed to them, it's amazing. Right? So you were saying just a little bit of money, what it does to the human genome.
it's wild. It really is. It's wild. And, yeah, so when it comes to insurance, you're not talking about anything except money. No matter how, you know, life insurance companies, they try to say, well, you know, you have a proper burial. You want to make sure that your loved ones are taken care of and all of that old flowery stuff. You go out and buy these policies and stuff like that. And it's like, when you really think about it, $100,000 is a nice piece of money while you're alive. But while you're alive, the likelihood that you're gonna run through that money quickly is high. You know what I mean? Like, that's not gonna carry you for the rest of your life. Even if it was a quarter mil. Now, if you have the business savvy to go ahead and start a business, which you should if you get that type of money in a windfall, but a lot of people piss the money away. They buy a new house. They buy a new car. They get they travel a little bit, get some of the accoutrements that come along with having access to, with that amount of money at one time. And next thing you know, that money is all gone. It's the money that you used to have. But
yeah, but that's
somebody had to die in order for you to get it.
Yeah. Life insurance, look, I used to be in the insurance business. I used to sell it. So I knew a little bit. I learned a little bit about the insurance. And I'm all for insurance. That's why I got into the business. Because as a kid, I was a sickly kid and still played sports. Even though I had childhood arthritis, they wouldn't call it childhood arthritis. They had another name for it. And I had pains in both my knees as a child, but still played sports and was decent on a second tier level. So I knew about insurance. I believed in it. So I sold it. I happen to like the insurance industry as long as it's not fraudulent. You know, there's always people in any corporation, any industry that's going to try to, you know, bushwhack you and ambush you and steal from you and be deceptive. But a lot of people don't understand how insurance is actually beneficial. Some people want, well, you know what, if I'm paying for health insurance and I don't get sick, I want all my premiums back. That's not how it works. That's not how it's supposed to work. One day when you have a show like that, I can come on and talk about it for about 20 minutes or so, because without insurance, let me tell you something, a lot of people would be broke, because if it take the time it would take to save up the money needed for a health emergency or a car accident, et cetera, believe me, most people in America would not be willing to save up for it. So insurance,
right,
you get an instant benefit, instant. As soon as you pay the premium, money that you do not have to pay for something, which hopefully does not happen, but once it happens, and it happens often, the people who say, I want my money back, they're grateful for it, you know. So there are people who say, well, you know, I pay for car insurance and I don't get into an accident. You're not supposed to get into an accident. But if you want to spend the time to save up the money that you can't afford, to stop clubbing, to stop going to movies, to stop dating, to pay for the money needed, to pay for the potential disaster, go ahead. I'd rather pay insurance.
Well, insurance is better than the savings accounts that are out here. Like, you know,
hell yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be better. Like, yo, man, these savings accounts out here aren't paying shit. Like, talk about a waste of money. It's crazy.
Uh-huh.
But you know, but I don't know. Honestly, I'm not a big insurance person.
Not too many people know about insurance or like it. They feel they have to have it. But when you delve into it, and if, you know, in the very bare bones discussion of what I just delineated, try to save up the money for, you know, a lot of people say, well, yeah, no, I'm 25, I'm 30, nothing's going to happen to me. Yeah, hospitals are full of people who are 25, 21, 30. A lot of shit happens. And if you don't have the money, you know, if they weren't for laws that, what do they call them, mercy laws, missionary laws, that force hospitals to take in indigents?
Yeah.
If it weren't
for
those laws, there'd be a lot of people on the street who don't want insurance.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, a lot of people just bandaged up and sent right back out there to die. Yeah, so. Yeah, luckily, well, I've been lucky health-wise over the years, but it could have been, I do understand the risk, because it could have totally went a different way. It's tough when somebody doesn't have something and you're trying to provide it for them as a courtesy, and then they basically screw you over for it. You know, it's like the person that you put on your car insurance, and you know, maybe you put them on your car insurance because they didn't have a car. You know what I mean? You were letting them drive your car. You wanted to stay in compliance,
right,
with your insurance, or you insured their vehicle because they couldn't afford it, and put the vehicle in your name, and then they run up. They get all of these moving violations, so they get all of these parking tickets on, you know, on their vehicle, on that license plate. You know what I mean? So you owe thousands of dollars in parking tickets, and you didn't know anything about it. You don't know about it until you get until you get notification that they're going to impound the vehicle, or that they've already impounded the vehicle, and the only way that you can get it out is if you pay all of this money. And next thing you know, your credit is all messed up due to your good nature. Your generosity and your irresponsibility all mixed up into one. You know what I mean? You're a beautiful, irresponsible person taking a chance on somebody who didn't give a shit, because the car is not in their name. The insurance is not in their name. They can walk away clean.
Yeah. Not only because of what happened to me, but from what you're talking about and from what other instances that people have talked about, and whatever you read about in the papers, of course. I don't do anything for anybody unless they put skin in the game, not even in relationships, because you don't know what a person's like until that situation arrives. And all of a sudden, my switch is flipped, and they become that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde you were talking about. So unless, like, for example, if you wanted to borrow $20 from me now, right, just $20, I would say, what have you got for collateral? 3 times worth. Because if you're not going to pay me back the $20, I'm going to keep the collateral worth $60 that I can sell it and make a profit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I guess I would have to put up like an expensive phone case or something.
I mean, it'd be 3 times whatever it is, whatever somebody would want, you know.
Right.
Yeah, well, because if they say, you don't trust me? Well, no.
Not about trust.
Or
let's just both be responsible. You know,
that's right.
Let's just both be responsible. If I'm going to hook you up, then you just, you know, everybody will just be honest in this whole thing.
That's right. If you're willing to put me at risk for the $100, $1,000 you want from me, then you put yourself at risk for the $3,000 worth of collateral that I have in my possession. If you're so sure you're going to pay me back, then what's the problem?
Borrow $100, put up your PlayStation 5.
That's right. Because I want to play my video games on your PlayStation.
That's right. But yeah, I totally get it, and you know, things like this have really put a strain on people's relationships, even marriages. Mm-hmm. You know how they say that financial problems have really are like the number one thing that has.
I was about to say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Some people frown on that, but hey, listen, people don't want to be. They don't want to grow old and broke. It's not a good situation.
You don't want to grow young and broke with somebody, you know, you all of a sudden you find out that the girl didn't really love you. Or maybe she did. I think girls do fall in love with the kind of aura that a person has when they, you know, when they're a person of status, a celebrity, for example. But if their star starts to dim, so does that love, because that love is anchored to something that's very, very, it's quicksand.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, now this girl no longer loves you, and now she can walk away with half your assets. You know, women, you know, you don't give men credit because there should be a lot more deaths as a result of divorce than there are. You know, these, there should be, especially in Hollywood. When you know that the woman, you find out years later, the woman only married you because of your money, because of your status, and you find out later that's definitely the truth. That's theft, dude. That is absolute premeditated theft.
You can't be coming on my show killing people off. Like, you know what I mean? You can't do it. You know, you always trying to kill somebody on this show. No, everybody gets to live on this show. You know, at least, but, you know, honestly, when you're younger, at least you still have many years in front of you to recover or to even change direction. Yeah, you're talking about you getting middle-aged and all of that kind of stuff. You ain't on your way up no more. So those losses that you take are really a much bigger deal than they were when you were much younger.
And I'm not coming on your show advocating. I'm saying people should not be surprised. People should be surprised that men don't do it. I'm not advocating for it. I'm saying that the situation is that men have a lot of stamina. They have a lot of forgiveness, especially when they find out that the woman that they love, right, has taken them simply because that's what they married them for.
Yeah, well, a lot of women kill over money in relationships too. And sometimes they kill in order to get insurance money. You know what I mean? That insurance money, it brings out,
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Any a woman has poisoned a man, shot a man, stabbed a man, had a man, had a hit put out on him and all that kind of stuff for a little bit of
right.
Yeah, it gets ugly. A little bit of money will jumpstart the evil intentions in a lot of people. Listen, we gotta get out of here.
Hey, okay.
I was about to say,
did you know that in domestic relationships now, domestic violence, 40% to 70% are initiated by women nowadays.
Yeah, it's all of those state funded karate classes.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. All right, man, since you got to give out your shout-outs again, all right, because I know it's another glorious, glorious day.
There you go. There you go. Right. Appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. Hey, you have a good weekend, all right? Bye-bye.
You too. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right, y'all, let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious Saturday, July 16th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box. April Anderson, happy birthday to you. And also Wakita Stevens, turning 47 years old today. Happy birthday to you. And Yolanda Lynch, happy birthday to you. And Dark Chocolate Ross, happy birthday to you. And Danielle Wedderburn, turning 32 years old today. Happy birthday to you. And Carol Queen C. E. Harris, I'm sorry, E. Ferris Nelson, happy birthday to you. And Valerie Everett, turning 63 years old today. And Ezra Foreman, turning 24 years old today, and Robin Fields turning 53 years old today, and Honey Kavanaugh turning 74 years old today, and last but not least, Cedric Niles. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious July 16th. Anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up. And I hope that today finds you a good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. All of y'all go ahead and turn up, but don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out, rock on into the damn, the rock out, rock on into the damn, rock out, rock on into the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours, and remember, man, check it out. Peep game, you know what I'm talking about. Yo, this insurance thing, man. Love, trust, love, trust, love, trust, love, trust. I like you. I love you. I trust you. I think I'm going to make sure that I take care of you. And if I do, will you make sure that you stay true? Well, if not, it's going to cost a lot for me to recover. Are you down with me, my brother or sister? I know I missed it. Chance for me to become closer, but I got a dose of my own medicine, messing around with these premiums with you, and I found myself in a position where I'm paying back some shit I didn't even use. Picture that. At the end of the day, man, regardless of how much we feel for a person or the way we feel about a person, we have to watch out for our financial interests. Maybe to some people, their financial interests aren't all that much of a big deal. But if they are to you, if your financial security is important to you, and you're talking about insurance and you're talking about somebody else being put onto your insurance, first of all, the choice is yours. I'll be the first to tell you that if that's what you want to do, if that's what your heart compels you or faces you in the direction to do, hey, by all means, man, play that game. But just know that there are risks that come along with that, and the rewards may be very few. I want to thank all y'all for coming on through and supporting the Urban Therapy with Sun show. Before y'all get out of here, make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. We will be back tomorrow for another Urban Therapy with Sun show, 1 p.m. on a Sunday. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. So Blog Talk, we going to get you out of here. Holla back.